Amen. Well, today I'm continuing a three-part series called Peace in the Storm. There is one thing that is certain about life is that there will be storms. There will be difficult seasons, but the amazing thing is that we can have peace in the midst of the storm. And that's really the point of this series, is to help you understand that there is peace in the storm. Man-made peace is when the storm goes away, but the peace of God can be with you and keep you and sustain you right in the middle of the mess. And last week we talked about worry, but this morning I want to talk about overcoming anger. Overcoming anger. And the reason that I chose to talk about this today is because often when people are going through a storm, anger tends to rise to the surface. And have you ever noticed that? When people are stressed out, when they feel overwhelmed, when they're under pressure, that's usually when anger manifests itself. Okay? Even the most patient people on earth, when they're under pressure, get a little angry. Why? Because everybody has a breaking point. And often, when we are going through a storm, that's when we come face to face with our breaking point for anger. Come on, y'all. Even nice people. Come on, you take somebody who's always nice and always sweet, and you put them under pressure, and you wear them out, and you stress them out, and you keep them up at night. At some point, Dr. Jekyll will become Mr. Hyde. You'll see that anger come out. That's why we're talking about anger today. And I want you to be really honest with me this morning. Y'all be really honest with me today. Raise your hand if you've ever struggled with anger. Okay, thank you for your honesty this morning. Some of you are thinking, I'm so angry that I have to raise my hand right now. Well, you're in the right place this morning. All right. I want to share with you some principles that hopefully will help you deal with anger. So when we look at anger, let me start by saying this. Not all anger is bad. We just read Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. So the Bible tells us right there that you can be angry and not sin. Did you know Jesus got angry? Yes. Oh, Jesus snapped. You better believe Jesus snapped. He flipped the lid on people one day. Come on, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are watching him. Okay? They're watching, trying to catch him doing something wrong, doing something against the rules so they could arrest him. The Bible says in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, that Jesus looked around at them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn heart. So here is the Son of God who did not sin, and yet the Bible says that he was angry. This was what we call a righteous anger. Okay, Jesus is angry at the Pharisees, and in his anger, he looks at a man whose hand was withered, and Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and he was completely restored. And this is what righteous anger does. Righteous anger pushes you to do righteous things. Y'all see that? You understand that this morning? We see that with Jesus. Righteous anger causes you to do righteous things. Listen, it's okay to get angry over injustice. It's all right to get angry about people starving to death. It's okay to get mad about kids being abused. Why? Because God gets mad at those things. Righteous anger is when we're bothered by the same things that bother God. And here's what you do. When you have righteous anger, you need to let that righteous anger drive you to do something good for God's kingdom. I think about back in 1962, a group of Christians got angry that churches were so segregated. And what did they do? They started this church. I think about a few years back, a group of men and women in our church realized that so many people were in hunger, suffering from hunger in our community. So what did they do? They got mad and they started a food bank. Amen. And now we're giving away over 10,000 meals a year. Why? Because somebody got angry about something that they saw as a problem in our community. Yes. Not long ago, when we found out how many of our children come to church hungry on Sunday morning, you know what we did? We got mad about it and started providing free breakfast every Sunday at 10:30 for our kids. Yes. We got angry. My wife will tell you, she had, when we did snack time in kids' church, so many kids would come up and want to know if they could have extra and if they could take some home because they were so hungry when school was out. I thank God she got mad about it. She said, no more. Not in this church. We're going to do something about it. And there's our head chef right there cooking gourmet meals. Listen, I was going to say just make, you know, cream potatoes or something. But no. Our breakfast team goes all out above and beyond. And they eat better before church than y'all eat after church. I'm telling you. I love it. But that is what righteous anger does. And I tell you, if you don't get angry about something, you need to wake up, child of God. You need to look at the world around you and you need to find something that bothers you and you need to let God turn your misery into a ministry. That's what righteous anger does. So there's a good kind of anger, but for the rest of my message, I want to look at the other kind of anger this morning. Because honestly, most anger is sinful anger. What is sinful anger? Sinful anger pushes you to do sinful things. And when people are overwhelmed, when they're stressed out and worried, when they're under pressure, I don't see a lot of righteous anger. I see a lot of wrong anger, y'all. Right now, I'm seeing anger everywhere. Anger is a real problem in our culture and in our nation. Anger is spreading, and anger is escalating. 50 years ago, I'll give you an example. 50 years ago, if you cut somebody off in traffic, they'd probably honk their horn at you. Unless you're in the South. Y'all know that we don't honk our horns in the South. Some of you guys who came here from other parts of the country, you found out very quickly, you do not honk your horn in Goldsboro. That is almost the unpardonable sin. Last weekend, I was at Raleigh-Durham International, and I was fighting traffic, and I had to honk my horn at somebody, and it stressed me out the rest of the day. I mean, I was toe up. Oh, Lord have mercy, I honked my horn at somebody. I feel so guilty. We just don't, I don't even know why they have horns on cars in the South, y'all. That's just, I mean, it should just be, I don't know what it should be, but we should just take the horns out and burn them, all right. But anyway, 50 years ago, somebody cut you off in traffic, they'd probably honk their horn at you, okay? 20 years ago, they might have honked their horn at you and then given you the naughty finger, the California howdy, all right? But today, you cut somebody off in traffic, they're going to be shooting at you. Anger is escalating in our culture. Anger is on the rise. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Anger is fueling murder and hatred in America today. It's infecting our nation, and if you're not careful, it will infect you too. According to medical research, uncontrolled anger is a leading cause of anxiety and depression. Someone who has uncontrolled anger, listen to this, if you have uncontrolled anger, you are 3 times more likely to have a heart attack and 6 times more likely to have a stroke. People who are prone to anger have weaker immune systems and shorter lifespans. Y'all, anger will kill you. Uncontrolled anger will destroy your health. It has the power to destroy your marriage and every meaningful relationship that you have. Domestic violence is on the rise in our nation. It accounts for 1/3 of all female visits to the emergency room. Statistically, 1 out of 4 women will be abused by a spouse. Nearly 70% of all female murders in the United States are a direct result of domestic violence. That's why the Bible warns us about angry people. Proverbs 22, verse 24 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." That's what the Word of God says. I think the Bible's pretty clear on that we are to stay away from angry people. Why? Because they're dangerous. The Bible tells us to avoid them, but what do you do when you're the angry person? Oh, that's where the rubber meets the road this morning. That's why today I want to give you four principles to help you overcome anger. Because we all deal with anger sometimes. Let me give you one reason why anger is on the rise. Three words. Not my fault. Not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm so angry. It's your fault. You shouldn't have ticked me off. You should have spoke to me when I walked into church this morning. You should have been nice to me. You should have made me feel special. You shouldn't be driving so slow. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Y'all know that is my number one trigger. When I'm going down Berkeley Boulevard and the guy in the left lane is going 22 miles an hour and the guy in the right lane is going 22 miles an hour and they're just staying right beside each other, I'm like, come on, y'all. I got to get to Krispy Kreme. Get out of the way. Not my fault. Not my fault. That's why anger's on the rise. It's not my fault. By the way, I didn't think cars could drive that slow until I moved to Wayne County. I was like, is there an engine in your car or are you pushing with your feet? Come on, somebody. Do you have to stop before you turn off the road? You're supposed to turn first, then stop. Sometimes I just want to help. I want to get out and just push. Not my fault. It's not my fault. I'm so ticked off. You shouldn't have drove so slow. Come on, y'all. That's the trap. It might not be slow traffic for you. It might be something else. But all of us, we tend to blame somebody else for our anger. You should have been a better waiter. You should have been a better waitress. You should have preached better this morning. Come on, our tempers are out of control because we pass the blame. If it's not our fault, then we're not responsible for how we act. But the truth is, it is our fault. We have to take responsibility for anger. Psalm 37, verse 8 says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. According to the word of God, you can refrain from anger and you can turn from wrath. What does that mean? It means you can't say, not my fault. Amen. Bible tells us to refrain from anger and turn from wrath. We are responsible for the way that we react. Some of you are angry right now for legitimate reasons. I'll say that. I'll give you that this morning. You're legitimately angry. You're angry because you've been hurt. You're angry because you've been abused. You're angry because something's been taken from you. But even when the anger is legitimate, it doesn't give you a right to act in illegitimate ways. It's the old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. Sometimes we get angry for a good reason, but righteous anger never gives you a right to do unrighteous things. Let's look back at Ephesians 4:26. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Then it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, when Amber and I got married, we're getting ready to celebrate our 14th anniversary here in just about a week and a half. When we got married, we laid two ground rules. We wanted to keep it simple. I could keep up with two things, okay? I can remember our anniversary, not only because we got married on Labor Day weekend, but because literally every password I have involves our anniversary, so I can remember. Now I have to change it. All right, never mind. Okay. But when we got married, we set two ground rules. Number one is we're going to honor God with our tithes and offerings. So we're going to honor God financially. We want our marriage to be blessed. We're not going to bring a curse on our house. And number two, we're never going to go to bed angry. Now, we have stayed up all night long, but we have not gone to bed angry. We've had some all-nighters. We've had some marathon weekends where we just did not sleep. Bags under my eyes, talking all crazy. I was so sleepy. But we made up our mind. We're not going to go to bed angry. Word of God says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now look at verse 27. It says, neither give place to the devil. Now this is interesting to me because we like to quote this verse a lot. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. But sometimes we forget that this verse is talking about anger. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. Yeah. That word place in the Bible is the Greek word topos. It means an opportunity, a location, or literally a room. In other words, when you get angry, don't give the devil a room in your heart. I think about Cain and Abel, the beginning of the Bible, and it shows what happens when anger gets out of control. It's a story of two brothers. Cain was the first human to ever be born. Think about that. The oldest son of Adam and Eve. He was the first son of Adam and Eve. Cain was a farmer, and Abel, his younger brother, was a shepherd. The Bible says in Genesis that one day they both came to offer sacrifices to God, and Abel honored God by bringing the first of his flock. But Cain didn't do that, did he? He didn't bring God the first. He just brought God some of it. So Abel honored God by putting him first. Cain just brought God some of the leftovers. And the Bible says that God honored Abel, but he dishonored Cain. He accepted Abel's offering. He rejected Cain's offering. And what happened? Cain got angry. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, Cain, why are you so angry, and why is your face downcast? If you do what's right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Notice what it says. It says that sin is crouching at the door. Come on, tell your neighbor. Sin is crouching at the door. I want you to think about that analogy that God gives Cain. It means that sin is always there. Sin is always waiting at the door of your heart, crouching, ready to pounce when you make room for it. That's why we have to guard ourselves. We cannot give place to the devil because anger opens the door to sin. Come on, help me preach. Tell somebody, anger opens the door. I don't think they got it. Tell somebody else. Anger opens the door. When we get angry, when we fly off the handle, when we go into a rage, what are we doing? We're opening the door to sin, and you better believe that sin is going to jump right in. Give no place to the devil. Because the hotter your temper gets, the wider that door opens. I want y'all to understand that. Come on, you're getting mad. You're saying it's not my fault. But God is saying sin is right there. Sin is waiting, crouching at the door. And the hotter your temper gets, the more angry you get, the wider you're opening the door for the devil to come into your life and operate. Yes. Give no place to the devil. Be angry and sin not. And if you're taking notes, write this down. There are two destructive ways that we deal with anger. Two destructive ways. Okay, I broke it down into two groups of people. The brewers and the spewers. You probably already have identified yourself with one of those two groups. But let's talk about them for just a minute. Number one, the spewers, okay? The spewers express their anger. Okay, they spew it out immediately. Okay, immediately. When a spewer gets angry, they have to speak their mind. I got to say it. I got to say it. I got to tell them how I feel. I'm going to speak my mind. We got any spewers in the house today? We got a few brave souls willing enough to be honest this morning. Spewers express their anger. Okay, and the word express is putting it nicely because it's more like they explode or erupt in anger. I came across a news article about a couple in Minnesota, Diane and Oliver Fittipaldi. They were arguing over how to set the table. Apparently, this was an ongoing argument between them, and one evening, Diane decided that she was fed up and she had enough, so she rented a 3,000-pound forklift and drove it right through their dining room wall, smashing the table into 1,000 pieces. And during the court trial, she told the judge, she said, "Oliver yelled at me about where to put his fork, so I decided to solve the problem with the forklift." Oh, boy. Spewers express their anger. That's not always a good thing, because when you spew your anger, there's always collateral damage. It might be your dining room table. It might be something else. I don't know. But that's why the Bible says, Proverbs 29:11, "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back." Listen, you might feel better when you vent your anger, but I promise you that nobody around you feels better. There is collateral damage beyond what we think when we spew our anger, when we lash out in anger. It hurts people. If you have ever spent much time around angry people, you know it's like trying to walk on eggshells. You just never know when they're just, you're just going to set them off. Got to be careful. So those are the spewers. Now let me pick on everybody else. Let's look at the other group of people. Number two, the brewers. The brewers don't express their anger on the outside. When you're a brewer, you suppress it and you hide it deep down inside, okay? Spewers express it, brewers suppress it, okay? We got new brewers with us in the house today. Okay, yeah, there's a lot more of you than actually raise your hand. Why? Because brewers are sneaky. A brewer can be smiling on the outside, but they are screaming on the inside. Brewers are scary, yo. When you're married to a brewer, you got to sleep with one eye open. Because they got a whole lot of stuff just bottled up on the inside of them. Ooh, you got to watch out. Got to be careful. Brewers can be mad at you and just smile to your face. Heard about a husband and wife who went to marriage counseling. And he looked at his wife and said, "When I get mad at you and when I explode, you never fight back. How do you control your anger?" She said, "Well, every time you yell at me, I clean the toilet." He said, "What? That is the stupidest thing that I have ever heard in my life. How can cleaning the toilet help you deal with anger?" She said, "Oh, you don't understand. I use your toothbrush." Gotta watch those brewers, y'all. They're sneaky. Spewers express it, but brewers suppress it. Look at what King David said about suppressing anger. Psalm 32:3, he said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." In other words, when I pushed down my emotions, the deepest part of my soul was being damaged all day. You see, when brewers get mad at you, they get into arguments. Oh, they have knockdown, drag out fights, only it all happens in their head. So you can walk into a room and they'll be mad at you because of an argument that you just had with them that you don't even know about. Because they're bottling all the anger up inside of them. When you suppress your anger, you might feel like you're in control. You might even think you're doing good because you didn't lash out. But if you don't deal with that anger, it's going to cause problems. Amen. Thank you for that one golf clap of praise this morning. Y'all ain't got to shout. You just got to listen. I hope you're taking it to heart this morning. You got to deal with this anger, y'all. It will hurt you. Number one, it's going to hurt you. Number two, it's going to hurt other people. So those are the two categories of people, the brewers and the spewers. And regardless of which category you belong in, very quickly, as I close, I want to give you four steps to dealing with anger. Four steps, very quickly. Number one is admit you have a problem. We've all heard it said before, the first step to getting help is to admit that you have a problem. Yeah. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody and they were red in the face, pounding their fist, yelling and saying, "I'm not angry"? Anybody ever been there? I think you need to be honest and admit that you might have an anger problem there. "I'm not angry." Right. Angry people don't like to admit they're angry. And if you tell them they're angry, that does not help. You have to admit the anger. And when we're angry, we don't want to admit it. I'll put myself in that category. I don't like to admit when I'm angry. Why? Because if I confess that I'm angry, then I have to deal with it. I like to live in la-la land and pretend that I'm perfect. Okay? Pretend that like I walked on water on the way to church this morning. Came out of the womb speaking in tongues. That's how I like to think of myself. I don't like to admit that I'm angry because then I have to address the issue and deal with it. But church, we have to admit that we have a problem if we're ever going to change. And just so you, just in case you wondered, I am a brewer, okay? I like to marinate it and sit on it and sleep on it, let it just brew and brew and add a little hot sauce in there and just let it get real bad, y'all. So I internalize my anger, and that's why sometimes it's even harder for me to admit. If you're a spewer, everybody knows you're angry, and all you have to do is look in the mirror because you're red in the face. But me, I look in the mirror and I'm smiling, saying, "Praise the Lord, have a good day." Because all that anger is bottled up on the inside. So I have to do some soul searching and admit to myself, okay, I'm angry about this, so let's deal with this stuff. Yes. Number one, admit that you have a problem. And number two, drop the excuses. I'm challenging you today, drop the excuses. Because it's my fault. It's not my fault. It doesn't work with God. Oh, I've heard too many angry people say, "Well, this is just who I am, and that's just how I react." People have even told me, "Well, that's just how God made me." Listen to me. No, it is not. That is not how God made you. You made yourself that way by letting anger rule your life. Amen. You say, "I can't help it." Listen, you can control your anger. I promise you that you can. I'll prove it to you this morning. Let's say that you wake up on Sunday morning and you're getting ready for church and the cat eats the goldfish and then the dog eats the cat and then you run over the dog backing out of the driveway. Come on, you get on Berkeley and there's two cars going 22 miles an hour right beside each other. So you decide to go the long way to church and you get on a back road and you get stuck behind a tractor and the kids are acting a fool. So you're reaching back trying to just smack whoever you make contact with. "I'm just going to whip somebody." Then your wife says, "Stop being so hard on the kids." So then you get in an argument with her. Then you pull up to church and you walk in the front door and you're like, "Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning, brother. Good morning, sister. So good to see you today." "This is the day the Lord has made." Your kid said, "Daddy, that ain't what you said on the way to church." Says, "Shut up, shut up, shut up." Go to kids, let's get you checked in. Go down the slide. Don't listen to him. He's just a kid. He don't know what he's talking about. You know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Some of y'all did that today. You are ill as a rattlesnake. Driving into the parking lot and look smiling like an angel when you walk through the front door. You can control it. You can turn it off if you choose to. That anger is a learned behavior. I'm gonna keep on moving. All right. Keep on moving. Number one, admit you have a problem. Number two, get rid of your excuses. Number three, accept God's mercy. accept God's mercy. Listen, some of y'all, you don't even know why you're so angry. I can tell you one reason why a lot of people are angry is because they can't let go of the guilt of their past. If you're going to overcome anger, you need to understand that God loves you and that His mercy is everlasting and unconditional towards you. Listen, we can be people of mercy because we've been shown mercy. So you need to understand and embrace the love of God, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to tell somebody, tell them, I'm a new creation. Listen, if you're a child of God, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. You are a new creation. Your past is gone. Amen. Your past makes no difference because God never consults your past to determine your future. Receive God's mercy. And here's my last point this morning as the musicians come. My last point to you today, to overcoming anger, is number four, you have to choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. You have to make up your mind, I am going to forgive. I want to read Ephesians 4:31 one more time. Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, listen to this, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I want to ask you something this morning, and y'all need to be honest with me. Did you deserve God's mercy?
No.
And what did He do? He forgave you anyway. And the Bible says that if we're going to be people of mercy, we have to forgive others just as He forgave us. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. He wronged me. She hurt me. They might not deserve it, but we didn't deserve it either. We have to forgive. Listen, forgiving the other person doesn't make what they did right. It doesn't excuse what they did, but it breaks the power they have over your life. We have to choose to forgive. But I'm angry and I want justice. Listen to me. God will take care of the justice He promised you that He would. But He also said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It's not up to us to get even. It's our job to forgive. And God will take care of the rest. Listen, don't go to sleep tonight with unforgiveness in your hearts. Some of you wonder why you have been sleeping lately. I'll tell you why. Because it's hard to sleep when you've got bitterness and unforgiveness in there. That's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Some people say, well, I'm going to sleep it off. But in reality, what do? We sleep it in. Go to bed, I'm all angry and all mad. I'm going to sleep it off. I'll wake up in the morning more angry than I was the night before. Don't sleep it in. Don't go to bed with wrath, with bitterness, with unforgiveness in your heart. Choose to forgive. Listen, anger does more damage to the vessel in which it's stored than to anything upon which it is poured. You got to let go of that anger, church. You know anger hurts you. You know anger hurts other people. So you need to ask yourself, is it worth it? I'm like that, y'all. Every day of my life, sometimes all day long, I have to ask myself, is it really worth it? Is it worth getting that aggravated? I was aggravated walking in church this morning. And I looked at Amber and said, the Holy Spirit's going to test me today to make sure that I'm going to practice what I preached to you this morning. I was preaching to me in the parking lot before I ever got the golden microphone. I said, is it worth it? Is it worth getting so worked up over? Is it worth ruining my day? That's the Nash County in me. It doesn't ruin my day. Is it worth ruining my day? No, it's not worth it. Let it go. How many times do we get so angry and so upset and so distracted by dumb things, y'all? Stuff that makes no difference in eternity and probably doesn't make much difference in our lives right now. Let's choose to forgive. Let's let go of that anger and that bitterness. I heard the story of a well-respected Bible college professor. And he was a well-known and well-loved teacher because he used a lot of visual illustrations to teach his Bible students. One day, the students walked in the classroom and he had a giant dartboard hanging at the front wall of the classroom. And on each desk, he had placed some blank pieces of paper and several darts. And he told the class, "Today, we're going to do an exercise. I want you to draw pictures of people that you're angry with. And I want you to put them on that dartboard." And boy, they got excited. So one guy drew a picture of his old girlfriend. One girl drew a picture of a guy who had hurt her. And people, some students were writing, drawing pictures so quick they ran out of paper. But they put the pictures on the dartboard, and boy, darts were flying from every end of the classroom. They were laughing and cheering and having a good old time. And when they were finished, right before class was over, the professor, he peeled the target off the dartboard. And behind it was a picture of Jesus. And as they looked at that picture of Jesus with his eyes blotted out and his face torn and his neck torn, the room grew silent and some students began to weep. And in that moment, the professor read the famous words of Jesus, "If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Will you stand with me as we pray today? Thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes and go before God in prayer for a moment before we close. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your infinite mercy. God, you had mercy on us when we didn't deserve it. The Bible says that while we were dead in our trespasses, Lord, you sent Jesus to redeem us. God, you forgave us. Lord, you loved us when we were at our very worst. And you gave us your unconditional love. And Heavenly Father, I pray in this service today that you would help us, God, to love the world with the same love with which you've loved us. Help us, God, to forgive others, God, as you have forgiven us, not based on what they've done, but based on what you did for us. Lord, help us to be people of love, people of mercy, people of forgiveness, God. May not a single one of us go to bed angry tonight. But Lord, help us, God, to deal with that anger. Help us to deal with that frustration. Help us to deal with that bitterness, God. Help us to take all of these issues to you in prayer, God, instead of allowing things to spew out of our mouths or to stew inside of us. Lord, may we pour them out to you in worship and in prayer. Help us, God, to be people of love and people of mercy. Help us, God, to develop and nurture the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, to be gentle and kind and patient and loving. Help us to be a living reflection of you everywhere we go and to everyone we meet. Thank you, Jesus. Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Truth is, you can't save yourself. Only Jesus has the power to save. And the good news is that Jesus will save anyone who is willing to come to him and trust their life to him. I don't want to encourage you this morning. Put your faith in Jesus. Don't live another day under the guilt and the burden and the weight of sin. Give your life to Jesus and allow him to set you free today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith. I want to ask that you pray this prayer out loud with me today. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus, with your help, I'll trust you, I'll serve you, I'll follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you pray that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. The Bible says that your sins are washed away. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ.